guess it doesn't hurt to start off with some Jasper action. Hello, everyone. I am Kimberly Adams, and welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. Kai is out today, and so joining me for Economics on Tap is the wonderful Sabri Benishore. And thanks for being here, Sabri, with all of your plants.
Thank you for having me back. And thanks to everyone for joining us on the podcast and the YouTube live stream for Economics on Tap.
Yes, today we are going to do some news fixes, have some drinks, take a little break, and then we're going to play our very fun game, Half Full, Half Empty. But first, Sabri, tell me what you are drinking. Water, isn't it?
I'm drinking... What's that?
I was like, it's water, isn't it?
It's a muscle milk. No, it's a muscle milk. I'm too lazy to cook, so I just make smoothies. This was my smoothie from earlier today.
That's a large portion.
Yeah, I forgot to clean it, so now it just has dried smoothie in it.
Well, no, it looks like there's some liquid smoothie in there in the bottom still.
I'd say sludge, really. What about you? What are you drinking?
So I was listening to Kai's story the other day about the business that made the big investment in non-alcoholic drinks. And
oh, yeah.
Did you hear that? Well, one of the things they were saying is that they make their cocktails sometimes with like part booze and part non-alcoholic spirits. And so I decided to try making a Manhattan today using my de-alcoholized bourbon and real vermouth. And so this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
It tastes different, but it's still good. It's Manhattan-ish. All right. Well, then let's move on to our news fixes. Sabri, since you're the guest, why don't you go first?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. So I saw this article in Curbed in New York Magazine. It's called New Yorkers Never Came Flooding Back. Why did rents go up so much? Getting to the bottom of a COVID era real estate mystery. And I will tell you, I have the like reading attention span of one of my plants. Like I honestly am terrible, but this was a long read and it was a good read. And basically, to sum it up, the author writes that, you know, we kept on hearing about all these people flooding back to New York and the, you know, washes of people coming back. And so rents, of course, naturally skyrocketed. And he was like, well, I actually looked into the population data and found zero evidence of people flooding back. And in fact, if anything, found like a lot of evidence for people trickling out still. And so then he was like, well, why are the rents going up so much? And what he found, or what he suspects, I should say, is that A, it's something called warehousing, where landlords withhold units. And this is probably more in like luxury buildings. They withhold units from the market, keep them vacant just to create an artificial scarcity of supply so that rents go up. And and the other thing is this algorithmic rent setting business that apparently the DOJ is investigating, where it's like you have a bunch of landlords using the same quote unquote algorithm, and it's the same effect as if they all got together and said, hey, let's like coordinate on setting the rent to like the maximum price. They don't do that. The computer does it for them, is the allegation. So anyway, it is a crazy read. Crazy read. I mean, he goes into like the sewage data to try and confirm this alleged population growth that he does not find evidence for. It is wild, and I highly recommend.
Yeah, but what are they going to do about it, though? Like,
yeah, great question. I mean, there is some, apparently there's some legislation in the New York legislature to stop this practice of quote unquote warehousing, you know, where you keep properties vacant. I feel like it would be very hard to prove that, you know, you're intentionally keeping something vacant as opposed to like, what if people just don't want to rent it? But I don't know what the mechanism for sussing that out would be. Yeah. And then DOJ is investigating that algorithm software thing. So.
Right.
What about you? What's your news fix?
I have two, actually. I mean, I know there's been a lot of coverage about the anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And, you know, it's terrible. It's awful. And I was looking. Gallup has a really interesting collection of various polls related to where we are in the war. And it's just a bunch of fascinating charts in terms of, you know, Americans supporting the war versus not. Republicans think that the U.S. is doing too much to help Ukraine. Democrats do not. Ukrainians' view on how on continuing the war with Russia based on region and also, you know, how much faith they have in their country and institution. It seems like everybody's kind of buckling in for a long conflict. But also, it was interesting that a majority of the people in Ukraine see NATO and EU membership in their future, which is kind of like one of the things that was an issue at the beginning of this, that Russia didn't want, you know, Ukraine in NATO and in these other groups. So it was just an interesting collection of charts. Now, the other... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just... I mean, I was just going to remark on the... you know, the politicization of it. I saw, you know, how the sort of approval of the spending is starting to break down along party lines. And it's just sort of like, I mean, is there anything that does not get politicized these days?
No, no, there is not. There is most certainly not. I don't know. Maybe not this next one. I hope, fingers crossed, but seeing what happens with teaching Black history in this country, I guess not. But since we are winding down Black History Month, you know, there's been all these sort of honors and notations and emails and things like that. And I got an email from the U.S. Patent and Trade Office. Yes, I am on their mailing list because why not? And they have a public search facility that they're opening in Virginia where the public can go and search patents by computer on microfilm, go through old files, and it's this new facility, and they're getting ready to rename this public search facility after a patent examiner named Henry Baker. And he was so patent examiners are the people who, like, when someone applies for a patent, they check and make sure there is an already existing patent and does it conflict and is it original and all these things. So there was a Black patent examiner named Henry Baker who worked there. I guess he lived from 1857 to 1928, and he compiled the first ever list of African-American patent holders to use it as a weapon against racism to prove that Black Americans were also innovators and creative and just as able to come up with really interesting inventions as anybody else. But what's interesting is that there was no easy way for him to do this because back then, and even now, I don't think, they don't really track the race of people applying for patents. And so he basically, you know, turned to people and just started reaching out and crowdsourced this list of Black inventors to try to figure out who of inventors were Black and came up with this list himself. And I thought that was really cool. And they're renaming the facility after him. So
that
anyway,
is cool.
The press release says Henry Baker's story teaches us that diverse employee perspectives have always made the agency's work better, even back in the day. So there's that.
Cool.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of cool. Well, that's it for the news fix. We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to play a round of half full, half empty. You're not going to dance along to the music with me, are you, Sabri?
Oh, no, we would lose viewers immediately if I started to dance.
I highly doubt that.
Or
anyway.
Someone would call in a medical emergency.
Okay, well, this is half full, half empty. Our game where our very own Drew Jostad gives us the news topics and then we tell you how we're feeling about them, with the positive being half full, the negative being half empty. And remember, on our last round, we'll invite the folks on the YouTube live stream to play along and vote as well. And so, Drew, let's take it away.
All right. The Food and Drug Administration is out with guidance that says that plant-based milks can continue to bill themselves as milk. Are you half full or half empty?
Oh, let's start with our plant guy. You have the biggest smile.
I'm half empty on that, and I'm not sure why. But I for some reason, I feel like, I don't know, those almond milkers, and I love oat milk and I love almond milk, but I feel like they definitely like usurped the title of milk. Like, those are not milk. They're just kind of like pasty, or like they're just like opaque liquids. Like they're not. I guess I've been brainwashed by the milk campaign people, but I am on team cow milk.
What do you think we should call the nut liquid products, whatever? Anyway, what do you think we should call them?
Well, you know, slurry, milk or silk or almond oil emulsion. Those would all be accurate.
Oh, Lawrence Ubel says plant juice.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah.
All right, we don't have to answer this question today. We'll turn to the audience. Maybe people will write in. They came up with ideas for what to call mocktails as well. So anyway, I am half full, actually, because as we saw, this was just too difficult. So keep it moving. All right, what's next, Drew?
All right, along with partners including JPMorgan Chase and Air Canada, United Airlines has said it's going to launch a $100 million venture toward sustainable jet fuels. Are you half full or half empty?
On unsustainable jet fuel? I mean, I'm half full on the project. I don't know that I believe it. I feel like we've heard about initiatives like this before without much progress, and the cynic in me is wondering how real it is. But I mean, if it happens, sure. But everyone else on here is empty as well. Sounds like greenwashing, seems like marketing or a media stunt. Yeah. So that's where I am.
I'm half full on this. The issue that they're dealing with is that actual hydrogen powered jets are far, 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 far away. Like, the difficulty in, you know, compressing enough and refrigerating enough hydrogen to fuel like a jet is the major, major technological challenge. So what they're doing is, it's like, you know, the sustainable jet fuel, it's like fuel. It's the same. It's fuel. You know, it's like oil. It's what do you call it? It's the same, you know, chemical, but they can manufacture it using, you know, you can compose these compounds in a lab, and theoretically you could do so using energy from green hydrogen, from hydrogen, from wind, from solar, and you can piece together these fuel molecules. Still obviously gets burned, and I guess they can do carbon offsets or something, but I don't actually know to what extent the production of that fuel is using green electricity. So I think you're right. We'll have to see how that plays out. But the idea is, you know, practical.
Okay. What's next, Drew?
Are you half full or half empty on New York City pushing to become a tech hub?
Isn't it already? Half full? I think it kind of is already. What, I'm guessing they want it more?
Yeah. I mean, I'm half empty just to be difficult. I mean, I support jobs and everything, but, you know, they're not going to build enough housing to accommodate all these people who are going to be making great salaries and will be able to afford higher rents than everybody else. And while I am glad they will be able to experience New York, it's just, you know, I highly doubt the housing capacity to host them will be built without the everyone's rents going up.
Or people just being pushed out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is what often happens. All right, Drew, what's next?
Half full or half empty on certain brands of water bottles going viral.
I saw this story. Did you see one of our colleagues did it for, I think it was for the website, about why a particular type of water bottle went like viral on TikTok. Let me click on the link. I remember.
The Stanley.
Right, Hannah did this story. Yes, the Stanley. I guess it was mainly known as like a camping tumbler, and somehow they made it cool for hipsters on TikTok or something like that. Sure, why not? Get people to half full, all the way full, getting people to not use plastic water bottles. Sure. Nope. People don't like this. I see a lot of empties on this. Huh. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be
hostility.
I think it's hostility to TikTok. Is what that is probably.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I see. People didn't realize that we were talking about a reusable water bottle. Yes, that's what we're talking about. A reusable metal water bottle that is not a plastic one. So yes, that's what we're talking about. Okay. Are we up to the last round, Drew?
Did Sabri weigh in on the water bottles?
Oh, I'm half fully on that. Yeah, I like sustainability.
All right. Yeah, we got the poll next.
Okay, everybody on the YouTube live stream, get ready and cast your votes for half full or half empty on this last round. But let's go, Drew.
Okay, this one might take a little bit of a setup, but there's a new feature on some Samsung smartphones called Custom Voice Creator, where you can create a clone of your own voice with a quote-unquote AI, and then if somebody calls you, you can type in a text message and have your voice clone read it to the person who's calling or say it in your voice. Are you half full or half empty on this type of thing?
Oh,
I'm going to reserve judgment until people vote, but I also have my face. So, I mean, I'm still dealing with the bitterness of having that Siri voice that sounds like me. So it doesn't really matter in my account. Let's see. How are we doing on voting? We have 166 votes. So, King Cat points out this is great for the handicapped for accessibility. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I'm going to say I'm half empty because I don't know. Oh, but now that I'm thinking about the accessibility thing, you know, for people who are visually impaired, that's, I guess, useful. But those folks usually already have screen readers anyhow. So, yeah, I think this is kind of a useless feature. And dictation, yeah. So half. I'm going to go half empty. What is the poll? Yeah, most people. What about you, Sabri?
I am half full because this sounds so chaotic and ripe for disaster, and I just can't wait to see. I just can't wait to see the chaos unfold. It sounds like one more step into our dystopian future, and I'm just popping the popcorn every time.
You know, I can imagine, you know, those difficult conversations that you don't want to have, like when the person who you're trying to ghost or whatever texts you and you can just like send them a message, or they call you and you're like, actually, I don't want to talk to you anymore, but do it in your own voice. And so you didn't technically ghost them, but, you know.
Yeah.
You're planning. I can see it in your face. You're planning all sorts of ways to exploit this. You do love mess, don't you?
Yeah, that's why the rest of this room is not shown in the Zoom, other reasons.
Okay. Well, so you said you're half full because you want the chaos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, chaos monkey. Right. On that note, that is it for today. Thank you, Sabri. We are going to be back next week. And in the meantime, please do keep sending us your thoughts and comments and questions, your suggestions about what we could call the nut-derived fluids, I guess, other than nut milks. It's going to go badly. And then, or if there's a topic that you would like for the Make Me Smart deep dives on Tuesday, or a question for What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, we have all of the options, or you can give us your answer to the Make Me Smart question. All of those things you can send to us at makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can call us. We're at 508-UB-SMART.
Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergseeker. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. Drew Jostad wrote the theme music to Half Full, Half Empty. Antonio Barreras is our intern.
Yes, and the team behind our very fun Friday game is Mel Rosenberg, Emily McCune, and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our acting senior producer, and Bridget Bodner is the director of podcasts, and Francesca Levy is our executive director of digital. We survived. Yay.